What's up, everybody? Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Power Play Podcast. Before we get into it, I would like to remind everyone to please like and subscribe this independent podcast wherever you're listening. Let us know what you think of the show. Review. Your feedback means the world to us.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Well, it can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony, the backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Fantastic this morning, buddy. It is Sunday, March 1st, 2020. I am ready to get this rolling. We have the Rangers coming up today with a matinee at noon against the Flyers, so looking forward to that as well, buddy.
Those are always games that I get so excited for, those matinee games. It's like you wake up in the morning and you know that hockey's like right there.
Well, that's like the best part about like when football's on TV during the season on Sundays. It's like you get to wake up, you eat your breakfast, and then you get ready for football and you watch football all day.
Yeah, all day long.
Do that today with hockey.
Exactly. And it kicks off with our Rangers, so it's like it's a great feeling. It really is. And the Rangers are in a playoff spot, could be in a playoff spot by the end of today, which is absolutely insane to think about, which we will get into in just a little bit. Today's episode is about pretenders and contenders. That's the moment everyone's been waiting for. It's the show that everyone has been begging for all season long. Excited. It's playoff hockey time. Oh, playoff hockey is the best. Like, even the race in between is the best.
It already feels like we're watching playoff hockey. Every game has been super intense between these. The thing is, the West has five teams right now who are on that bubble. The East has the three teams that are on the bubble. And when those teams are in action, it's amazing. It's playoff hockey
and
already.
And it's playoff atmosphere, too, at the arenas. Like, the Rangers played the Islanders the other night, and it was literally a playoff-style game. It was insane. The crowd was buzzing. The boys are buzzing. Bodies are banging. Jacob Trouba was killing people.
Yeah. Oh, literally. Get off the tracks.
Literally killing people. So let's get into it, Anthony, though. We've got pretenders and contenders. We've got starts, hits, call-ups. We've got an all-new segment coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's pay the bills here, Anthony. Don't forget to follow the boys on all social media at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. Our Twitter game has stepped up. We are all over it right now. Our Twitter is probably the hottest social media thing that we have going right now. So you're going to want to make sure you follow that at the Power Play Pod on Twitter to keep up with the greatness that we're producing on Twitter. That's that. Make sure you follow the social media accounts. Without further ado, Anthony, let's get into our quick question of the day. The trade deadline has come and gone. We did our trade deadline episode last week, and now it's happened. All the deals have been made. Chris Kreider did not leave. Brady Shea left, unfortunately, for our Rangers. But let's get into winners and losers of the deadline, Anthony. Let's start off with you. Who won the deadline to you? Are you shitting me right now? Are you kidding me? It's up at the top. It's up at the top, buddy. This guy literally just like, he's like looking at me like I'm like crazy. Like this is behind the curtain. We're peeling the curtain back here again. Anthony's like looking at me like I'm crazy as I intro this segment. I don't know why he's doing that, but like, he's looking at me like with his gaze, and then I send it to him and he's like looking in the notes at where I put his show notes.
Sorry, but I was thinking to myself, I feel like we started the pod off on a little like Ranger-centric rant, and I was like, man, we need to stop talking about the Rangers so much.
Yeah.
And then you brought that up, and I was off guard. I was in my own little world.
I did a pro move. I realized that, too. I was like, you know what? We are talking about the Rangers. Let's get off that rail real quick.
Yeah, so enough moratorium on the Rangers talk. Let's get into it here. Winners of draft day for me, the New York Islanders.
Oh, the other New York team. Okay.
The other team in New York, huge pickup with JG Pageau. He's already producing for them. He has, I think, two goals in the three games he's played with them. In his first game with them, he stood up for a teammate with a huge fight against Trouba, and that immediately wins your guys over. For a team fighting for a playoff spot, and they're in pretty good position right now to lock down that first wild card spot, that's just going to add to it and help them on the run. Also, he works really well with the coaching. Barry Trotz is a two-way guy. Pageau is a two-way player. It's absolute perfect fit for what the Islanders are trying to do right now.
It's a match made in heaven, definitely, with Barry Trotz and JG Pageau. And I mean, it's funny, like when the trade happened and I was listening to TSN, they literally said, Now J.G. Pageau leads the Islanders in goals. I was like, man, that's crazy. Like, you're literally acquiring someone who's already lead, like, who automatically comes in as your leaders in goals. That's a great add whenever you can do something like that. My winner is the aforementioned Carolina Hurricanes. They added Brady Shea. They added Sammy Vatanen. They added Vinny Trocheck. They had a lot of ads. They want to buy in right now to what they have going here. And I think that they made the biggest improvement during the deadline. They really just – they added the right guys too. It's not like they added like just the biggest name on the market. They added the right players. You throw Vinny Trocheck in maybe as your top-line center, maybe your second-line center. Wherever you slot him in, he's going to be a great player. And what's funny is I think Sammy Vatanen is a pending UFA, but Brady Shea has term. And you look at their defense here, and it's literally Brady Shea, Dougie Hamilton when he comes back, Jacob Slavin, Pesci. It's just their defense is stacked. Now adding two guys who are solid defensemen, I think the Carolina Hurricanes are the big winners in this deadline.
They do seem like the winners on paper, but you know they've lost the first two games with those guys in the lineup.
Did they really? That's a tough look. I know they got pumped by Dallas. First night
they lost to the Avalanche last night, or they lost to the Avalanche a couple nights ago. And they lost again to Montreal last night.
They kept that game close.
They kept that Colorado game close though.
But it really it
wasn't that close because I think Colorado was up like 2 or 3-0 at one point and they came back.
Yeah, I mean it's literally like I don't think that Carolina is now like the strongest contender. We'll get into that obviously in a little bit. But I think that with these moves, they really solidify their chances to make that solid push for the playoffs. I like what they did.
Absolutely. I think I like what they did, too. Once they get their rhythm down, I think they'll be all right. They're right on that bubble for a playoff spot with a game in hand on the Rangers and a few games in hand on Columbus.
I was wrong. Vinny Trocheck now slots in as their third line center, right behind Jordan Staal and Sebastian Aho.
Yeah, they're deep at center. Absolutely.
That's what wins you. That to me wins championships is center depth because quite possibly the most important position in hockey besides the goaltender is your center. And when you are able to line up three centers like that, that's a good add for sure. Now we get into our losers, Anthony. Who do you think was the biggest loser of the deadline?
The Toronto Maple Leafs. This is a team pushing to get past the first round of the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and they continue to fail to address team needs. I feel like they, first of all, I like the Clifford pickup. I think they did lack toughness. They did address that. As far as deadline day goes, I would have really hoped to see them pick up a goalie, Leonard. I know Georgiev kind of got taken off the market due to the Igor Shesterkin car accident. But at the same time, they needed to do something. They should have pushed to get Robin Leonard. They maybe could have pushed to get one of the D-men available. Maybe they could have made a push for Brady Shea. I don't know if they did or not, but they didn't get it done either way. And I think that they have a lot of holes in their team still. And, you know, who are they going to play in the first round? Most likely Boston.
Yeah.
And are they going to get past Boston what they have right now? No way.
No way. I don't think so.
It's going to be another first round exit for Toronto. I'll put money on that. And it's sad because you want to beat us about it?
No, I really don't.
I was going to say that's an easy beat us bet for me because they're going to have to play Boston. And they're not gonna be able to keep up with them in a 7-game series. I can see them pushing it to 6 or 7, but there's no way that they won't
be able to finish it.
You know, and Sheldon Keefe seems like a pretty capable coach, but even he himself is not experienced in the coaching department as far as playoffs. It's a shame because Austin Matthews has such a good individual season, but as you've seen in the pressers with Sheldon Keefe, he's not happy with that. He wants the team to win. He doesn't care who's scoring goals.
Yeah, it's not about who's putting up the points and what. It's about making sure you're getting the job done in the win column, and that's just not happening. And with the deadline, you didn't make a point to go out there and make sure that issue is covered. Now, my biggest loser is the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think I said the Tampa Bay Lightning is my big loser. I know you've probably heard all week long that the Tampa Bay Lightning have been winners throughout this deadline. I don't agree with it. I think that, yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning went out and got their depth, and that's what they needed. Yes, they needed to add depth. But you have to look at the cost that they paid for guys. They put their acquisitions for this deadline, Barkley Goudreau and Blake Coleman. And they signed Zach Bogosian. So that one doesn't hurt you too much. But you gave up basically three first round picks for Barkley Goudreau and Blake Coleman. Because you gave up two first round picks and Nolan Foote for all those guys. It just doesn't make sense. You are really like, if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, your future is dark. And if you don't win a Stanley Cup, it is literally Stanley Cup or a black hole bust. Because your future, when it comes down, it's going to come crashing down hard. And you're not set in the future.
I will say it's a win now move. And the core group that they have will be good for at least another couple years. So they have time to win, you know, in quotations now. Yeah. But yeah, that you're 100% right as far as they sacrifice their future, which we've seen teams do a lot. And it'll be interesting because if they win a cup in the next couple of years, you'll say, oh, well, you know, they have to win a cup. So it's really going to depend on how they perform in the playoffs. And to this point, they haven't impressed anyone much, especially with the core group they've had the last few years. They just haven't been able to get it done.
And you talk about how the Hurricanes lost coming out of the deadline. Tampa has lost four straight after being on that 11-game win streak. They've lost four straight.
That doesn't bother me as much because they are in a great position to still make the playoffs and have a favorable matchup at that. What worries me about them is their lack of success in the playoffs. Like, it's almost like, are they in their own heads as far as getting that done? I do like that they're facing adversity here in the regular season. They had to face it earlier and they got out of that slump earlier. I think it's very important that they're facing that now, and maybe they can figure some things out before the playoffs. I think that could be helpful.
Well, just like you last season, the Lightning had their playoff spot locked up, and then they started coasting into the playoffs, and then they got swept. So this really has to be a red flag for the Lightning fans.
I don't know if it is. I think Lightning fans are panicked and they're seeing it as a red flag. I also think that, like the Sharks and the Predators of years past, who have had these unreal President's Trophy seasons, I think that the Lightning players, that core group that's been there, they're ready for the playoffs, and it's not that it's right, but they are having a hard time getting up for these regular season matchups when they know what awaits them in a few weeks.
Yeah,
I really do expect them to step their game up, and we'll talk about it more later, but get out of the first round this year.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch up on where we think the Tampa Bay Lightning will end up at the end of the season coming up in a little bit. Anthony, we are going to now move on to our starts. Oh no, wait a second. Yes, it's time. It's time, Anthony. It's time for our brand new segment.
After reviewing the play, the call on the ice stands. We got a goal.
It is now time for our brand new segment, Upon Further Review. This is where we will review one of our reviews from one of our fans that posts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Player FM, Stitcher, wherever you listen. If you drop us a review, we might talk about it we might bring it up on the show. And this one's coming in from Jump Master Flex from iTunes. He says, score, awesome show, solid facts, and funny hosts make for a great time. 5 stars.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jump Master Flex. We really appreciate the support. If you want to be like Jump Master Flex, go on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you're listening, and drop us a review. You may hear it on the show. Thank you, Jump Master Flex, for reviewing the show. Your support means the world to us. Now we move on to starts, sits, call-ups. Anthony, I don't even know. You never do starts, sits, call-ups, ever. It's true wild card.
It is a wild card, and in true wild card fashion, I'll start where I want to start.
Wild card.
All right, so I'm going to start with my start.
Are you shitting me?
Didn't see that coming.
Are you shitting me?
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Whoa.
Wild card.
I am going to start Mike Smith today. Mike Smith, the goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers. He often gets a lot of crap from especially Oilers fans and Oilers media, but he has been on a tear lately. He just had another 38-save game where they won. He improves to 11-1-4 in his last 16 starts. Those are very impressive numbers, and those are the kind of numbers you want going into the playoffs because that's what helps you win when you get there. And I feel like where he's at with his age, he's not sure how long he's going to be able to have another shot at winning a Stanley Cup. I think he's all in this year, and he's dialed in.
He is.
And also another good thing is Edmonton does use that kind of tandem goalie system, so he's not going to be too tired going into the playoffs, and then they're going to ride Smith, I think, They're going to ride him through the playoffs and hopefully get out of the first round.
Yeah, I think they have a great team in front of them. And you know Edmonton's not coming with some great defense. So Mike Smith is going to have to perform well. And he does. He's had a lot of time in the past where you just give him a lot of shit because he hasn't been able to be a backbone of that team. And now he's starting to be it. And it's a great time to start doing that because the playoffs are right around the corner. And they could really be a contender.
Huh. So absolutely. And I'm going
to be a contender, get it? Because it's the contender.
Yeah, great. Moving on. Anyways, moving on to my call up. I'm calling up players' interactions with fans like during warmups.
Oh, you know, the best.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying seeing some of these videos. I know Ryan Miller traded a puck for some Girl Scout cookies. I just watched a video of Nikolai Ehlers. Looks like he traded some kind of little chocolate treat or something. I don't know what it was, but the kid threw it to him.
It looked like Tic Tacs.
Oh, was it Tic Tacs? It was something cool, and he gave the kid a puck. I love that stuff because the player's just a little, maybe it's just a little cool moment for them that they don't really think about. But as a young fan, that's something they remember for the rest of their lives, and it gets them hooked for forever. You're creating lifelong fans and lifelong memories in those moments.
Dude, you're about to have a kid. And when you go to games now, you can actually just make a sign and say, hey, give me your stick.
I'm
going to
live vicariously through my kid. I'd be like, yeah, give that here, kid.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally, you can make a sign for your kid and have him hold it up at a game and be like, hey, give my kid a stick. And then end up taking the stick.
And then no one knows what a POS I am. Because guess daddy's taking the stick.
That is awesome. That's strategy, man. That is 100% strategy. That's a good start. I loved watching Ryan Miller trade candy and Girl Scout cookies for like a puck or something. It's awesome.
It's great fun. Absolutely.
It is. Where are you going to? Oh, well, you only have one spot left.
Last but not least, my sit. I'm sitting all this e-bug drama. The emergency backup goalie drama has been sparked since David Ayres with his win for the Carolina Hurricanes. The league has been in talks to eliminate the e-bug as a possibility for NHL teams, and it's gotten a lot of hate on social media, and I understand that. It does seem like the NHL is trying to get rid of the fun aspect of it.
It's a no-fun league.
And it is super exciting because okay, these two goalies went down. Oh, man, we're getting an e-bug, and now all of a sudden you have people who weren't even watching hockey at the time getting notification that this is happening, and they're tuning in.
He literally, so
it's great content, and it's great for ratings, and it's great for the game in that aspect. I would like to mention the other side of the coin, and this is kind of what I'm sitting the overreactions from the fans, because I think there's something they're missing. The fans and the media who have been hating on the NHL wanting to eliminate it. This is something that I think everyone should take into account. Adding a third goalie, adding a third goalie to each team, that gives a goalie who's at the pro level working his ass off every day. It gives 32 more goalies chances to make and crack NHL rosters. That's huge.
That is a big jump. That's big. That is.
And if it transfers to the AHL, that's another 32. That's another 32 goalies.
But what are your thoughts about, like, I mean, the chances of a backup going into a game is obviously the chances are not high.
So
you now add a third goalie who's now going to be with even slimmer odds, just sitting there making thousands of dollars just to sit there and watch a game and probably maybe play once every other season.
Sit there, watch a game. But also this can be a thing where you're sending guys up and down between the American Hockey League and the East Coast Hockey League, but you're always having one guy But you're always having one guy there for the game.
Yeah.
So you're still adding that extra goalie. He may be getting playtime in the AHL, the ECHL, but overall, it's going to give an extra goalie to every team.
And having that, I never really thought about it from this.
That's a player living out his dream, getting his opportunity. And we've seen what happens with opportunity from guys who wouldn't expect it from. Stanley Cup champion Jordan Binnington is the example for that.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who spent a lot of time in the American Hockey League, spent some time in the East Coast Hockey League, and then finally gets his shot when everyone has counted the team out and him out for that matter. And they win a Stanley Cup with him. And he's the star the whole time. So teams may find diamonds in the rough through this system, for one. And it would make me really happy to see guys like that who may be stuck, you know, in the minors, stuck without a contract, to be able to get their chance. I mean, just think about all the goalies out there in the East Coast League, in the Southern Professional Hockey League, who would be more qualified than, you know, no offense to David Harris or Scott Foster, they'd be more qualified than these guys to step between the pipes because they know the pro game.
Yeah, a mid-20-year-old guy playing in the SPHL, still playing pro hockey, definitely a little bit more qualified than a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. And that's not that isn't a shot at all towards Ayers.
No, he played awesome for his thing. And
but
to his credit, I think he's one of the more qualified e-bugs you'll meet because he literally practices with the pros all the time. And okay, sorry, sidebar.
This is our first sidebar of the day.
Sidebar.
First of many. I don't often disagree with Spit and Chicklets, but they were bringing up the fact that to the NHL's point that they want to eliminate the possibility of a goalie going out there and like losing it for the home team because, you know, David Harris is he's technically an employee of the Toronto organization.
Yeah.
I just want to go on record and saying any real goaltender would never ever do that.
Yeah, with like a competitive bone in his body.
No, that would never happen. I would bet my money on that not happening.
You sitting that Chicklets take?
I'm definitely sitting
Chicklets.
I'm definitely sitting that Chicklets take, and that doesn't happen often because I love that show.
Yeah,
but I definitely disagree with what they said about that, and I think that any goalie put in that position to get into the game of the NHL in front of thousands of people, he's gonna play his ass off to get his to get his rep up there for sure.
It's funny because I never actually really like dove in to think about like the idea of an e-bug or anything like that until you started talking about it, and then you make me realize like also having a third goalie in your system to be there just in case. You also open up a spot for the goalie. You may be able to call up a young goalie to be able to watch and learn and study what's going on instead of just being in the minors playing. Obviously, the playing experience is great, but I am a big believer in calling up a younger goalie and letting him watch and learn the game before he actually goes in. So maybe opening up that third spot for a call up like that is a good idea to learn.
And you can rotate who you're calling up for that third goalie that evening.
Yeah, lots of things. That might have been your best take in quite some time. Just letting you know. That was Anthony starts his call-ups. Now we move on to my starts his call-ups, and I'm obviously starting what Anthony was talking about earlier. I'm starting J.G. Pageau of the New York Islanders, obviously traded there at the deadline. He comes in, scores in his first game, scores in his second game, and then also in that first game, rivalry game against the New York Rangers, Jacob Trouba absolutely flattens Michael Del Cole. Clean hit. We don't have to get into that. Flattens him. And then J.G. Pageau, who's not known for fighting, ends up dropping the gloves with Jacob Trouba. And obviously, it wasn't like a big scrap. He didn't hold his own, but he did it. He did it for the boys. He was a team player showing his new team that he's willing to drop the gloves. Anthony has the hit on right now in the studio. It's an unreal boom. Sorry, that's terrible audio. Absolutely crushed him. J.G. Pageau steps in right away though and takes on Trouba and steps up for his team. That is such a huge thing when you're coming into a new team trying to impress them. Goals, yes, will impress them, but this fight impresses him more. J.G. Pageau doesn't have to have a goal in his first two games, and he already earned the respect of his new teammates because of that play. Love it. Starting J.G. Pageau.
Yeah, it creates that immediate bond with the boys, for sure.
It does. It does. So I'm sitting the expansion draft rules for Seattle, not necessarily like the rules itself, but the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights are exempt from the draft lottery. I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that rule. I think Vegas should have to participate in the expansion draft just like everyone else. They've been in the league now. At this point, it'll be 3 years in the league since the expansion. And I think, is it 3 years or 2 years? 2 years, right? Two years. It'll be going into their third year, and they should have to participate in it. I don't understand.
This is their third year.
This is their second year.
Their first
or
year.
Third year. Yeah, this
their
is
first
their third
year,
year
they went to the finals. The second year they lost to San Jose, right?
The first year they went to the finals, and the second year they lost San Jose.
This is their third year. Yeah.
So they will be going into their fourth year. I don't understand why they're exempt from participating in the expansion draft. Do you know why? I don't get it. And I think it should be set. I think Vegas should have to participate, put up one of their guys, have to go through that process. Because they're part of the league now, it's only fair. So I'm sitting Vegas not being eligible for the expansion draft. And I'm calling up probably the most feel-good story. I don't know if this – I say it's the most feel-good story, but we have had so many storylines through this NHL season that –
there's been a lot of that this year. Just but this adds is on. Definitely – I think this one is my favorite, though. I think you're right. This is the best one to this point.
I'm calling up Bobby Ryan – not necessarily for scoring a hat trick in his debut or in his first game back.
But also scoring a hat trick in your first game
back. Bobby Ryan took time off to go to rehab to get his life back on track and hasn't played in quite some time. Comes back, not only scores a goal, scores a hat trick, and the Ottawa Senator fans are loving it. They're chanting Bobby Ryan's name. Bobby Ryan's getting emotional. It is truly a great sight to see. It's special. It's a special moment for Bobby Ryan. He had an interview afterwards. He talked about how this one is not necessarily just for him. It's for his family who stuck by him. It is truly a feel-good moment for Bobby Ryan, and I'm calling him up because he deserves it. Kudos to you, Bobby Ryan, for getting your life on track, taking that responsibility, and then coming back and scoring a hat trick. That's a big deal.
Amazing.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I feel good. He was holding back tears. You got to believe his teammates are happy for him, and it's great because he's been through a lot in his NHL career, being traded a few times, the controversy with the Team USA not picking him, saying he wasn't intense enough.
Yeah.
So it's great to see a guy like that, especially on a team like Ottawa, who's, you know, they're kind of at the bottom of the league, but they have some good young talent. So maybe a promising future there, but not really in playoff hopes right now. So it's good to get some positives out of their season in general, and that's definitely one that they're going to take to heart. And that's good for the whole team builds off moments like that.
And you know what's great too about it as well, during the interview after the game, he literally said, "I acknowledge that what I did was not something to be praised," and he doesn't expect the fans to be okay with what he had to go to rehab for, but he appreciates the support from the Ottawa Senator fan base for accepting it, realizing what's happening, and cheering along for Bobby Ryan. So definitely calling up that, starting JG Pageau for his fight, and sitting the Vegas Golden Knights not being eligible for the expansion draft. That's our start, sits, call-ups. Anthony, it is now time to get into setup of the week. But before we get into the setup of the week, I do want to remind everyone to make sure they subscribe on whatever podcast platform they're listening, iTunes, SoundCloud, Player FM, wherever you're at. Subscribe and drop us a review. You have a chance to have it read on the show. Drop that review. Let us know what you think of the show. Anthony, let's get into it. It's now time for Anthony Milani's setup of the week.
Yes, sir. This setup of the week actually kind of ties into the trade deadline and some moves that were made. I'm going with Robin Leonard's brand new Brian setup. It's got that black, but also has that dark grayish that the Knights are known on their jerseys for. And if the pads come together, it looks like that knight mask that's on their logo.
Oh, I never noticed that.
It's got the gold and the red trim. Just an absolutely beautiful set. It looks like matte finish. Huh. The black looks like a matte finish on it. It's just a gorgeous set of pads. I can't wait for these to hit the ice and see Robin Leonard in them. It's going to be amazing.
You know who we also should have talked about for sitting? We should do a little
sidebar.
Yeah. So you know who we should have also sat? We should have sat the Chicago Blackhawks for the way they handled Robin Leonard's trade. They didn't notify him. He found out from Twitter. It was a lot of reports going around that they really shit the bed on that one.
I heard that he really enjoyed his time in Chicago. He tweeted about it. I think he said or it was reported, I can't remember, that he was willing to take a lot less money to stay in Chicago because he really liked it. And he was excited to be with Vegas because they're, you know, right now they're on an 8-game win streak. They're, you know, in a great position to make the playoffs, first in the Pacific. But I think he liked his time in Chicago, and I think it kind of blindsided him because he thought things were going well for him personally, even though it wasn't going well for the team. I think personally he thought things were going well.
Yeah, and that should have been also considered in our sit.
Yeah. However, Vegas did a great job of picking up Robin Leonard. The Flower has at times shown his age this season. He's had some tough goes, and to create a tandem like this going into the playoffs with a guy who, I mean, Robin Leonard could be a starter on a lot of teams right now. There's a lot of teams looking for goalies like that who could step in. We saw how great he was last year with the New York Islanders. I feel like this tandem going into the playoffs will be really great for them. I only see positives there as far as Leonard goes. Because even in his time in Chicago, when Chicago wasn't that great, Leonard was a solid goalie for them.
He was.
He didn't have very many stinker games. You watch, he's a very solid goalie. Not the best goalie in the shootout, but that doesn't matter.
No shootouts in the playoffs.
That doesn't matter in the playoffs. And he even admitted it himself. He's like, I don't like shootouts. I'm not good at that one-on-one when the shooter has all the time in the world. He's like, I need the game
and really,
down situation.
It is. I mean, as a player, it's like, man, we know it's unfair for goalies.
Well, not really, because the percentages actually favor goaltending overall.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as a goalie, if you got the top guys on each team coming down at you in the NHL, I'm sure that's not fun.
Yeah.
And I just think it depends on your style. I think Robin Leonard's style, the way he plays the game, he makes a lot of, I would say, blocking saves, and that's not a slight to him. That's just him being in really good position.
Yeah.
He's a positional goalie in game situations.
He plays his size too, isn't he? He's a bigger goalie,
he's
right?
He's a bigger goalie. He uses his size, and sometimes in the shootout that can work against you because you have to sometimes move with the players or not move depending on the situation. I think that kind of trips him up, but besides the point, I just want to drive home that Vegas made a huge move with him. And I think that it's going to help them be successful in the playoffs.
I 100% agree. That is Anthony Milani's setup of the week, a sick style. You can check that out on our Twitter at the Power Play Pod. It will be posted. It is now time to get into our news and notes from around the league to kind of lead us into our playoff contenders and pretenders. Anthony, what's going on around the league?
All right. News and notes from around the league. Tampa Bay Lightning, Steven Stamkos out 6 to 8 weeks. With a core muscle injury. That's a huge blow for this team, especially going into the playoffs. Stamkos just can't stay healthy. This is
really unfortunate.
I think every year he has an injury like this. It's real tough. New York Rangers, Chris Kreider. My heart's breaking here. Fractured his foot on Friday. We thought it was a break, but just a fracture. So he's going to be week to week after blocking a shot. The New York Islanders are making the move officially back to the Nassau Coliseum, a.k.a. the Mausoleum, for the playoffs, as well as the entire 2020-21 season. That's great news for them. The players are going to love that because all the players live on the island. So now they don't have to sleep in a hotel for home games.
That is a big thing for players.
Most players on teams don't appreciate that because that's not even a thing for them. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to sleep in my bed on a home game. But for Islanders players, it's a huge get for them. To close out the news and the notes, we have the Edmonton Oilers. For Leon Draisaitl gets his 100th point of the season. What a season for Draisaitl. He really stepped up in McDavid's absence. He continues his dominance with McDavid. Going into the playoffs, those two are going to be terrifying.
It's going to be unreal. It's going to be unreal to see. That's our news and notes from around the league. Anthony, let's get into it, buddy. It's time for the main event of the evening. Let's jump into contenders and pretenders. And now you brought up a really good point two episodes ago when we were teasing the contenders and pretenders episode. What defines a contender and a pretender? And I want you to kind of elaborate your thoughts on how we identify contenders and pretenders before we get into it.
Well, let's start with this. The contenders and pretenders segment today is going to be a buy and sell. So each team has different expectations. So them being a pretender or a contender for those expectations are what we're going to be judging. We're going to be judging each team a little differently because the expectations for the Lightning are Stanley Cup. The expectations for a team like the Carolina Hurricanes or the Minnesota Wild, their expectations are to just kind of get into the playoffs and take it from there. So each team is going to be judged individually as far as them being a pretender for what they're going for or a contender to achieve what they need.
It all depends on the situation. And Anthony, did I hear you correct? Did you say buy or sell? Love that drop. I had to do it.
Indeed.
I had to do it. So let's get into it. Buying or selling. We're going to start off with the top dogs of the Eastern and Western Conference. Let's jump into it. The Tampa Bay Lightning will win the Stanley Cup this year. Are you buying or selling that, Anthony?
They'll win or make it to the finals.
Win. I said win. Although you have the Dallas Stars winning the Stanley Cup.
I don't think they'll win.
You've ruined this.
Pretenders as far as winning.
You've ruined this, by the way. I can't talk about my Stanley. I really shouldn't talk anything about the Stanley Cup Finals because your Stanley Cup Finals is the Philadelphia Flyers against the Dallas Stars.
Yes, it is.
That is your B-Dubs bet Stanley Cup Finals. So yes, I really shouldn't have done the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's okay. I'll give you my opinion, and then you can give yours. I think they are pretenders. I think that they're going to make it. I don't think they're going to get swept in the first round this year. But I don't think that they'll make it out of the East. I think they'll get stopped in the East. Teams like Boston are built for the playoffs. They'll probably have to face them eventually. Also, little quick sidebar. Very, very quick.
Sidebar.
Earlier, I said that the Maple Leafs will probably have to play the Bruins in the first round. That's not true. The Maple Leafs will have to play the Lightning in the first round.
Oof.
So I think the Lightning will beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that's not a crazy opinion. Everyone probably thinks that, except for select people in the Ontario area. So I think Tampa Bay is going to get out of the first round, possibly the second. I can't see them beating a team like the Bruins, though. Even the Flyers, I'll stand by that. I think the Flyers are built more for the playoffs. They're a little bit of a deeper team than Tampa is. I think Tampa has the better stars up front. I think depth goes to Philly. I think coaching goes to Philly. And if they're to play, Alain Vigneault, to the Stanley Cup Finals, has two trips to the Stanley Cup Finals under his belt, a lot of playoff experience. The guys on that team are playing for Alain right now, especially our boy Kevin Hayes. He's having a hell of a season.
Hurts.
They're
hurts
getting
so
the
much.
Goaltending from the young Kata Hot
here.
So I have to think that Tampa Bay goes two, maybe three rounds, depending on the opponents. But I can't see them defeating either Boston or Philly. I don't think they will.
Yeah, I have been back and forth on
or
this.
Or Washington or Pittsburgh for that matter.
That's what I was.
Honestly, I think the only team that they're going to beat is their first round matchup.
I lean Metro for the Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. I agree. I think the third best team in the Metro right now is Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh can beat Tampa.
I think
Pittsburgh can beat Boston.
I was going to say the top.
We'll get into Pittsburgh in a little bit. I do have Pittsburgh listed on this, but as for Tampa, though, I think that I would be selling that the Tampa Bay Lightning will make it to the Stanley Cup Finals because I think, like I said, I think the team coming out of the Metro will end up defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals, whether that be Washington, Philly, Pittsburgh, or the Rangers. I'm just kidding. It's not happening.
No.
But either way, I think that Tampa Bay does not have the right coaching. I still don't think that they really... Their defense is not spectacular. Andrei Vasilevsky sometimes is very hot and cold. I talk to a lot of Lightning fans about Andrei Vasilevsky and get so many differing opinions on him. So I really think there's just a lot of question marks on the back end there for Tampa Bay. So I'm selling Tampa Bay Lightning will make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Colorado Avalanche, Anthony, we move out west. They are currently second in the Central Division. They didn't really go crazy at the deadline. They did that depth add of adding a player like Vlad Nemestikov. Can you pronounce Nemestikov right? A lot of people have a hard time. A lot of people have a really tough time pronouncing that name. Yeah, exactly.
Vladislav Nemestikov.
Yeah, I don't get it. Sorry. So the Colorado Avalanche, Anthony, will make the Western Conference Finals to face your Dallas Stars. Are you buying or selling that?
The Avalanche against the Stars?
In the Western Conference Finals?
No, I think it's going to be the first round matchup.
Oh, that is a first round matchup. Again, you and your Dallas Stars prediction has like completely thrown off my entire buy sell.
Well, here's the thing: the way the season's going, Dallas, that could happen because Dallas might jump Colorado for that second spot. I mean, they're 4 points.
Either way, they play in the first round.
They're 4 points back, but yeah, what I'm saying is, so Dallas might jump Colorado for that second spot in the Central, so they might go into it as the second seed with home ice advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big deal.
Is what I'm saying, and that's going to be a huge series. That'll be the most exciting series of the first round, I think, if that were to happen. And that is a huge example of some people who hate this system. The old system was top eight get in on each conference.
8-1, 7-2,
yeah.
6-3.
And that works as far as getting the good matchups, as far as one's going to play eight, which is still kind of true. Except for the fact that the East is kind of messed up as far as teams in the Metro being a lot better than teams in the Atlantic. But this is a matchup that it honestly could have been a Western Conference Finals matchup, but it's not going to be.
It's not going to be
because of the seeding. But these are two great teams. And the West is, I would say the three central teams in the West, honestly, those are my three teams that could go to the finals.
Yeah, I think so. I think that is definitely a fair statement. St. Louis is very good. Colorado is really good. Dallas is also really good. You know, I saw they released like Vezina odds the other day, and Andre Vasilevsky was number one. And I think Ben Bishop should get a lot of credit for Dallas. I think Ben Bishop has played really well for Dallas.
Absolutely. I think Bishop and Binnington deserve. I think Binnington, he didn't get robbed last year of the Calder. But I still think he should have won it. The reason he didn't was because he didn't play the full season.
Yeah.
They only had half a season of an example, so he didn't get it. I think he deserves the Vezina this year. Him and Bishop, to me, are the two Vezina guys. I think they've been unreal for their teams. Just the consistency of how they play. They don't have off nights.
Yeah. The St. Louis Blues are a team that truly, I mean, like, they are. Go ahead. No.
I was going to mention Vasilevsky.
You and your finger.
Vasilevsky is, in his career, is a very streaky goaltender.
Yes.
He goes through spurts where it's like, wow, this guy, you couldn't buy a goal. And he goes through spurts where, man, he, you know.
You could buy a goal for a penny.
Yeah. Who was it? Revo.
Oh,
With that shot from just inside the blue line.
That was awesome.
Off of Vasilevsky and in. That's another one we talked about last week, Bob letting one in off his pads and in. That's a beer league goal. That's a goal a beer league goalie would let in off his pad and in because you're not in the right position to make the shot. I will say.
Have you had that experience?
Like every game, dude. Like every game. Multiple times a game. I will say, in Vazzy's defense, sometimes when the guy doesn't know exactly where he's going with it, it's harder to stop. But still, as an NHL goaltender, you have to put yourself in better position to stop that puck. And we've seen him let in those types of goals in big moments. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him in the playoffs to prove to everyone, kind of like Bob did last year, to prove to everyone that he can hang in the playoffs and he can steal some games for his team, because that was there was a few differences of them getting swept, and that was one of them. Even in games where he didn't play bad, he was never spectacular.
Yeah.
We never said, wow, Vazzy stole that game. And in the playoffs, that's a huge thing. You got to have your goalie steal a couple of games a series. We saw it with Marc-Andre Fleury a couple years ago when they made their run. We saw it with Binnington a lot, especially against San Jose. That's that performance he's going to need. But moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So we move on now to the Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes will miss the playoffs this season. They're in the thick of it right now. They are battling, obviously, our New York Rangers. You have Columbus Blue Jackets. It's a tight race in the Metro, only separated by 2 points within those teams. The Islanders seem to have that first wild card spot locked up. But the Carolina Hurricanes are right in the thick of it with Columbus and the Rangers. The Carolina Hurricanes will miss the playoffs this season. Buy or sell?
I'll sell that. I think they made the right deadline moves, as you mentioned earlier. I think they are going to have a good finish to the season. The Rangers have a difficult finishing schedule, as we've talked about. I think they're going to fall just shy. I think Columbus is crashing down. I think maybe even on this show we gave them too much credit. We mistook a hot streak for a playoff team.
And no Seth Jones. Don't forget that. And Elvis is out as well.
Minus Seth Jones. Elvis is out with the Conky. As we've mentioned, they lost this season a lot of their star power. I think it's catching up to them. This is what we talked about with the Torts system. It doesn't always work. It was working because it was a young, inexperienced team buying into his style of play. And they play hard every night. They don't give teams too much for the most part. They're gonna fight, and I think it's gonna be a tight race. I think Columbus is gonna be right there.
It's gonna be so fun down the road.
I think that last wild card spot does go to Carolina in the end.
Yeah, I agree. I think Carolina, they did the right moves at the deadline to make sure and solidify their chances. I like Rod Thibodeau as well behind the bench. I think he's a great coach.
Great guy. Knows how to win Stanley Cup champion.
So I think I sell that as well. I think they do make the playoffs. I think they lock up that last wild card spot. Now going over to the Western Conference wild card battle, it is another it's also a tough race that really no points separate these teams. Arizona 72, Winnipeg 72, Nashville 72. Even the number one seed for the wild card is at 73 points. And don't forget Minnesota, 71 points. So really, 1 point, 2 points separate all of these teams, all four or five of these teams in the wild card.
I would even include Vancouver in that, because Vancouver with 74 points in the third for third in the Pacific is still just 1 point above Calgary.
Yeah, it is so incredibly tight.
There's six teams battling for the two wild card spots, and there's a pretty significant drop after that with Chicago. So we don't have to include them, but those top five teams, man, it's going to be, like we mentioned earlier, it's already
a dogfight.
It's already playoff hockey. We're already seeing it.
It is so much fun to see. So the Arizona Coyotes will make the playoffs, buy or sell.
I have Arizona slotting right into that second spot.
Ooh.
I think that they are not playing their best hockey right now. I think that they had some good runs earlier in the season. It's not looking great as far as games in hand. Nashville and Calgary have a few games in hand. However, I think that the Arizona Coyotes pull it together. Their time, I think, is coming as far as playoffs. I think they get in there. I think Nashville's window is closing, as is Winnipeg's. I think Arizona is that next team in line. I think it's between. I think Calgary is going to get in, whether it's in the wild card or the Pacific. I think it's really between Nashville, Winnipeg, Arizona, and Minnesota. And right now, Minnesota's kind of in the driver's seat, but they've just been so back and forth this season, firing the coach, not getting consistent goaltending. I don't trust them to win when it matters.
Well, that's the same with Nashville, too. Nashville is the same way. Fire their coach, can't get consistent goaltending, and that's that.
Yes, I think Arizona, with their consistency, they trust Tocchet behind the bench. They're continuing to get good goaltending.
They're getting goaltending from everyone.
Whether it's from Antti Raanta, whether it's from...
what was that kid's name? Hayden Hill?
Aiden Hill. I think he's injured right now, but Ranta's been carrying the torch. He's been playing well in the absence of Darcy Kemper. The Brian said, are you kidding me? I think that they squeak in.
Okay, that's fair. I look at it.
So
and
I guess I'm buying.
You're buying the Arizona Coyotes will make the playoffs.
They also have the best goal differential of any of those prospective playoff wildcard teams.
My emotions say I want Arizona to make the playoffs because I did predict the Arizona Coyotes will make the playoffs in our offseason preview when we were talking about West. You did as well. But, you know, I just look at Nashville and I really think it's going to be tough. They have three games at hand already on Arizona. And I think that when it comes down to it, the experience will overcome the adversity with Nashville. I think they have the guys to do it. They still have a lot of their core guys, Roman Josi, Ryan Johansson, all those guys. Pecorine can be a good goaltender. UC Saros has come in. He's played decent as well. I think the experience of the Nashville Predators put them in that last wild card spot. So I'm selling the Arizona Coyotes in the wild card, and that one hurts. One hurts a lot.
No, that's a fair take.
So selling that. Now we move on. We're going to wrap this thing up here real quick. The Calgary Flames will make the playoffs and also jump into that third wild card spot to play the Edmonton Oilers. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy. I think it's destiny.
You want to buy it. You want to buy it so they can play the Oilers in the first round.
That might be true, but I think it's their destiny. After the season these two teams have had together, I think it's destiny that the Battle of Alberta is a first round matchup.
It's gonna be so much fun. Bedtimes don't exist. Bedtimes will not exist
they
at
won't.
That time.
If Edmonton plays Calgary, I'm not missing anything for those games because game one is going to be insane.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes a few games to build that rivalry. Game one.
Oh, game one will be absolutely insane.
Of the Eastern Conference quarter or Western Conference quarterfinals will be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be the best series of the playoffs. It'll be the best series of the playoffs.
You said that between Dallas and Colorado. This might be the most.
You said that. I didn't say that.
This might be the most intense series of the playoffs.
So imagine this. There is a world that we could live in the future where it's Dallas, Colorado in the first round and Edmonton and Calgary in the first round as well. So you get your two first round matchups of the best matchups of the playoffs out of the way during the first round, which, I mean, hey, Gary Bettman, fix your system here, buddy. That's why you need to fix the playoff system, but I digress. So you're buying this because of just pure emotion that you want Calgary to be in that last spot in the Pacific.
No, I think that Calgary and Vancouver have been trading all year for that spot. Vancouver does have some games in hand. But Calgary's getting, they're not, I would say that they're getting good enough goaltending right now to win some games. I think that The offense plays at a level to where they can finish out. They don't have that tough of a schedule finishing up. I looked over their games. They have a few non-playoff teams in the lineup here. I think that they'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it, honestly. I'm going to sell it just because I think Vancouver is a team that has enough in them. They like you said, like we've talked about, I think it's a trending word for us here. The games in hand mean so much for teams. They have 64 as opposed to what Calgary has. And I think Vancouver, they obviously went out and got Tyler Toffoli. They believe in themselves. They have a good, solid lineup Tyler Toffoli. Look at that lineup. Elias Pettersson, Tyler Toffoli, and JT Miller.
Yeah, maybe my opinion was a little based on emotion.
That's why I said it.
Maybe just a little
But you look at this. Brock Besser hurt. Jacob Markstrom. What is Brock Besser hurt with, Anthony?
Fractured ribs, right?
Yeah, there you go. Little
sidebar.
Anthony had to do a project for my school, and we did some news. Yeah, we did some news, and the Brock Besser thing was a very interesting topic, though. Jacob Markstrom is hurt, though. They have Thatcher Demko and Louis Domingue as their two goalies, so that will be a challenge for them to be able to hold on to that last spot. But I think that they can do it. I like Thatcher Demko. I think he's a good goaltender, and I think he gets them to that that third spot in the Pacific here. Moving on, Anthony. Let's quickly wrap this thing up here, buddy. Let's put a bow on our pretenders and contenders. The Pittsburgh Penguins will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I've been dying to hear your take on this because the Pittsburgh Penguins are a team that, to me, they didn't come out of nowhere, but like you haven't talked about them a lot. The Pittsburgh Penguins, you're just so used to them being good, but they've been sneaky good. They at one point during this past week, they were first in the Metro. They took the spot over Washington, and
they've slipped to third after a 6-game losing streak.
Oof.
The Flyers are on a 5-game win streak. Oh, they are buzzing.
Not my best take then.
Now, I think either way, I think these two teams will face each other in the playoffs, and that has historically spelled disaster for the Flyers, which unfortunately really just throws my Stanley Cup prediction off. But we see this in all sports. The tides eventually turn.
Yeah. Are the Flyers the Washington Capitals of this year with the Penguins? They'll meet them in the playoffs and then overcome that and just like not look back? Because
I don't know if it's going to be that dramatic, but I do think that now Penguins fans are going to get mad about this, but I think that the Penguins are not great in the goaltending department.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not.
And I think that's huge in the playoffs. Tristan Jarry has looked unreal at times in this year. But the playoffs are a different game. I think Matt Murray is an average goaltender. He won his cups, I think, with a good team. He made some good saves, not taking away from him. I think they could have won without him.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
I think they could have won without him. See, I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are a little bit on the decline.
See, where I will argue with you, though, about this whole thing, and it goes back to what you said at first. You said it won't be as emotional as as what the Capitals did when they beat Pittsburgh. I think it will be as emotional because this is a rivalry. I mean, we talk about the rivalries in the game. You talk about Calgary and the Battle of Alberta between Calgary and Edmonton. You talk about Colorado and St. Louis, or not Colorado and St. Louis, Colorado and Dallas, their first-round matchup. A first-round matchup for the Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins, that's a huge rivalry. We've seen a lot of shit go down between those two teams, and I think that this game, if the Flyers do win this game, you may be on to something where you say the Flyers make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, because after defeating a team that you've struggled against in the playoffs for so long, a crosstown rival riding that emotional wave, that could be huge. So that's where I would have to disagree with you.
Cross-state,
right? Did I say cross-city?
It's cross-town.
Cross-town? That's cross-town,
It's not
right?
a cross-town. It's across the state. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are two different parts of the state, Vincent.
Semantics.
Hours apart. Anyways, that worked. You gave a good example of that working with Washington. I think that there are more examples of teams having too much on their plate after a win like that.
That's true.
And it kind of bringing them down. They got through it, but they got through too much. Especially if Philly wins, I would have them winning in seven, not anything before that. Just because I did mention that Pittsburgh's on the decline.
Yeah.
But they still have a guy named Sidney Crosby.
He's kinda good.
And we know how he is in the playoffs versus the regular season. It's like he's coasting in the regular season. Like, he's like, all right.
So good.
He's like, I'm not going to give my all because I want to save it for the playoffs. And in the playoffs, he's a freaking monster.
He is. He is very good. So are you.
And they just got some pieces. Patty Marlowe.
Oh, yeah.
They got Connor Sheary back.
Yeah, yeah.
They got some of the band back together and Connor Sheary. So they're primed to also make a run. If Philly wins, it's not going to be easy. I think they can do it.
Yeah.
I think they can do it. They have the goaltending nod for me.
So that
they actually have a better goal differential by two
over
Pittsburgh. Yeah. So they're getting a good balanced offense. They're scoring goals, and you know they got the work out of hot.
So this was
letting up a lot of goals. It's going to be a good series. I don't see how they wouldn't play against each other unless Philly goes on a huge run. They're already on a run. If they continue this run, they are only
is Philly a wagon?
They're only 3 points behind Washington for
that's unreal
for tops in the Metro.
Yeah, I mean the top seed of the Metro is just a back and forth race at this point between those three teams. So yeah, it could really end up either way. But back to my original thing, and we moved to Philly. It was about Pittsburgh.
Okay, it was about Pittsburgh.
Will Pittsburgh make it to the Eastern Conference Finals by herself?
I'm gonna sell hard.
I'm gonna sell it as well.
I'm gonna sell hard because if they meet Philly. So they beat Philly, and then would they have to play? Who do they play after that, though? Do they play? I don't know how the system works after the first round. Would they end up playing Washington?
If Philly wins in the they would end up playing the winner of Washington in that wild card game, I believe.
Okay, then they have to play Washington.
I'm selling the fact that Pittsburgh will not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, not because of the Philly game, but because of the Washington.
You're selling
game.
The fact that they will or won't.
I'm selling because the no.
Because you just said will not make it.
I'm selling the fact that they will make the playoffs. I'm not buying in. I'm not buying the Pittsburgh Penguins
the playoffs
will not
the,
make the Eastern.
Okay, words, buddy. Oof. Words. Deep
back
breath,
to it.
Words.
The Pittsburgh Penguins will not make the Eastern Conference Finals.
You are selling.
So I'm selling.
Okay.
That is where I'm trying to get to.
Thank
here.
You.
That is where I'm trying to get to here. Words, not my forte.
You jackass.
So I'm not selling it because of the fact that they're going to lose to Philly. I'm selling it because when they meet Washington in the second round, I think Washington's a very good team. And I think Washington ends up beating Pittsburgh in that second round. That's how I seize it. Wrapping it up here, Anthony. Let's wrap it up with your final. The final one, the Dallas Stars will win the Stanley Cup buy or sell.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
You're going to buy it.
Happy about that one?
It's a little mad money reference there for all you finance fans.
Gross. Money, finance, gross. So you're buying the Dallas Stars winning the Stanley Cup. You're still on that train. Why? Explain to those who have not heard this take already, why are you buying the Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup?
They are in the thick of it in the Central right now, right behind Colorado. They've been great. Since their rough start, they've been great. They got rid of their head coach. They've been great since then. I really think that the Dallas Stars have what it takes to win the Stanley Cup. They have the pieces there. Ben and Sagan, right there. Those are two guys. They remind me of Taves and Kane a lot.
And strong goaltending.
Strong goaltending. What I love, the tandem goaltending system. Khudobin plays a lot, and he plays really well when he's called upon. And their big guy in the playoffs is going to be Ben Bishop, who, because of Khudobin and how well he can play.
No pun intended, big guy in the playoffs is Ben Bishop.
Huge 6'7". He's 6'7", right?
Yeah, he's something like that.
Huge. So big Ben Bishop is going to be huge for them in the playoffs. He's not going to be overtired or overworked because of the tandem goalie system. Let's not forget, and I've brought this up a million times, I'm going to bring it up again. Let's not forget, they lost in double overtime in Game 7 to the eventual Stanley Cup winning St. Louis Blues.
You really make it hard, Anthony.
So they were that close last year. They got the same crew this year. This team is built for the playoffs. They're going to make a run. I believe they have what it takes to win the Stanley Cup. I think even if they play Colorado in the first round, which it looks like that's what's going to happen, even if they have to play Colorado in the first round, I think they can beat them. As good as Colorado is up front, I don't know how great their depth is. As good as their defense is the first couple pairings, I don't know how good that depth is. Also, goaltending for the Colorado Avalanche. Who's the Colorado Avalanche's starting goaltender?
Right, they're all hurt. Grubauer's hurt and France.
You know, I heard someone say Francou the other day.
Yeah.
After hearing Francou for like a few weeks, I heard someone say Francou. So
unbelievable.
I don't know how to pronounce the man's name.
If you want to, so tweet at us at the Power Play Pod. Let us know how you pronounce the starting goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, whether it's Francou, Francois, Francout, Francou. However you want to do it.
However you want to do it.
Let us know. We'll put the phonetic spelling at the Power Play Pod
Anyways, yeah. back on track here.
Sidebar.
Back on track from the sidebar here. Goaltending is an issue. I know I bring that up for pretty much every team, but I'm a goalie guy, so I'm looking at goaltending a lot.
I mean, it matters in the playoffs. It matters in the playoffs, really.
So I'm going to continue to bring it up for each team on what I think of their goaltending situation, and I think Colorado's is not a positive one, especially when they have to face off against Ben Bishop on the other end.
And you've made it tough. You've really made it tough here, buddy. I was really against Dallas winning the Stanley Cup and all that, not and thinking you're crazy for thinking that.
They're a solid team.
But when you look at it, and they have the experience too, they added a guy like my biggest key to the Dallas Stars winning the Stanley Cup, if they do, is Joe Pavelski. I think he is such a huge part of that run. And they play, like we were saying, it's a huge, massive series against Colorado Avalanche. And we talk about teams riding a wave of emotion after a big series win. That is it. And if they win that, they'll probably end up playing St. Louis in the next round. And it's like, man, if they end up knocking off Colorado and St. Louis to get to the Western Conference Finals, there's no stopping them. There is no stopping the Dallas Stars on that road. So, Anthony, you have changed my mind. I am buying the Dallas Stars winning the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah,
not against the Flyers though, but I'm buying in that the Dallas Stars win the Stanley Cup Finals.
Another thing they have going for them, like historically, St. Louis is at the top of the West right now. They're the best team in the West. Best team in the West. The second best in the NHL, only behind Boston. Historically, those teams who have amazing regular seasons, they're not the teams making it to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Those are the teams falling short because they had such a great season. Not to mention, St. Louis had a very short offseason.
And that's why I think
we saw that affect Washington last season. They did go to Game 7, and it kind of could have gone either way against Carolina, but it went Carolina's way. So after a Stanley Cup victory and a short summer, Washington last year had an early first-round exit. I'm not saying that's going to happen to St. Louis, but I will say that short summer, it has to catch up to them sometime.
And that's why that is like history and thinking about how the NHL normally goes with their Stanley Cup champions. That makes me even believe more that Dallas is going to do it because
they're in a perfect position. They've had the perfect season for it. They've been good. They haven't been too good.
Can I get two B-dubs bets if Dallas wins? No, never mind. I don't want a B-dubs bet that. If Dallas loses in round one against Colorado, if we can make that a B-dubs
bet.
I don't want to do that because I don't. I think that they win. I think that you've really convinced me that they win the Stanley Cup Finals because it truly. I mean, they have a good team. They have a good team. They're not like there's no real star. I mean, St. Louis last year there was no real star, but there was just a lot of key guys playing key roles on that team.
Another player we forget to mention, Corey Perry. He's not as fast as he
used
to be.
With a walk of shame?
He's the walk of shame, Corey Perry. He's not as fast as he used to be. He's still got the hands. He's still got the skill. He is on the first. He's on the first line right now. They're doing great, and he brings Stanley Cup playoff experience, Stanley Cup champion experience. So, a lot of these guys do. Joe Pavelski, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn have all been there for their playoff runs. Tyler Seguin actually won the Stanley Cup in his rookie year. There's a lot of experience, also a lot of talent on this
team. Never mind, I changed my mind. I see the fact that they still have Roman Polak as their third pairing defenseman. That's okay. They're not winning the Stanley Cup anymore.
He doesn't see a lot of ice time, but they have Esa Lindell and John Klingberg up top in their top two pairings. I really think those guys are underrated defensemen in the league. They've been great, and maybe a little bit of their mistakes are masked by Bishop and Khudobin. The New York Rangers didn't win the cup, but they were successful under that system when all else fails, Hank's going to make a save. And I think when all else fails, you can trust Bishop, especially how he's been in the playoffs. And I'm a guy who did not like Ben Bishop.
Yeah, I know. You were not a believer against him.
I was not a believer in the talent of Ben Bishop, and he changed my mind last year in the playoffs, and he's continued to prove me wrong all season long as far as his abilities. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I'm happy to admit it because I have no problem with him being successful. It makes me happy to see him successful. He's not a bad guy. So he and the Dallas Stars, I think, are on the right track to make a very serious run, and I believe they will win the Stanley Cup.
Well, folks, Mama's wrong again.
We're gonna have to find out.
But no. You were wrong about the Ben Bishop take. That was for.
My take on Ben Bishop was absolutely wrong. I think I judged him because of how big he is. I thought, oh, he's big, but he can't really move. And if he wasn't so big, he wouldn't be in the NHL. But I don't think that anymore.
So that does it, though, for our playoff pretenders and contenders. It is going to be a fun ride on the way to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Oh, buckle up, folks. It's going to be a fun ride, 100%.
All right, I'm out of here. I hear that Asteroids machine calling my name from the game room, so peace.
On that note, folks, that does it for another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to follow the boys on social media at the Power Play Pod. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And smash that subscribe button and drop us a review wherever you're listening. Your support means the world to us. Anthony, do you have any final thoughts on today's show?
Nope, I think we covered everything.
Ready to watch
today?
Hockey?
I'm ready to sit down and watch the Rangers hopefully beat the future Eastern Conference champion Philadelphia Flyers.
Unbelievable.
That's the
takes.
Even if Philly loses today, they're still in great position. So,
yeah,
like,
that's
come
true.
On, give the Rangers a little something here.
Yeah, you know, help us out here. Help us out.
Hank
in the cage is going to be a big game. We're going to go watch that. Make sure you listen to this episode, all the episodes before. Drop us a review. On that note, forks. On that note, forks.
All right, forks and spoons.
Spoons, butter knives, and everything. Nope. On that note.
No knives.
No knives? What?
No knives.
What, is that a reference to something?
No.
Okay. For Anthony.
Just the joke, people.
For Anthony the Bat.
That was a long drop.
That was a long cricket drop. We haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah,
so.
Obviously. For what do you do during the week when you're supposed to be getting this stuff ready?
Nothing. God. Nothing at all. For Anthony.
Also,
the,
hold okay, on. Hold on. You told me at the beginning of the episode to speak
directly.
We're
already at the Asteroids machine, okay?
You told me earlier in the, like before we started to like talk straight into the mic so people could hear me. I've been doing this all episode.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Well,
it's been better. No, it's been better, though, because you've angled it to where you're still talking into the mic a little bit,
okay.
But you're just
okay.
Like, you're not like,
yeah.
You're not like this talking into the mic like an asshole. Unbelievable. For Anthony the backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
That was a big see ya there, buddy.